This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look who's back together again, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you this Monday morning. Let's get our heads right after a horrific weekend out at Petco Park. That's what's in. Got us good.
That's what's in.
They got us good, didn't they? That was a real, real, real S show out at Petco Park this weekend. Hey, kudos to the 120,000 of you that went out and supported this team. You do wonder how long that will last if baseball continues to be played in that fashion. San Diego has shown up for those guys every single game, and that is what they were treated to this weekend at Petco Park. I was out there Friday. I was exhausted. It was packed. It was jamming with Padres fans. Everybody's still talking about this team, and not in a good way today, which is to be expected. Great to have you guys here with us. We'll get through it. We'll talk about it. We'll probably hammer some things, hammer some people. That's just what we do. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, back in town from vacation. I want to hear all about it. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Good to be back. Wish the Padres had done a little bit better while I was gone, but and you know what? Padres lose to the Phillies, news at 11.
Right,
That's what they do. Phillies have the Padres number.
That's what's in.
It's too bad because that's the kind of team that you want to be able to beat. Mike Schilt talked about it. We'll get into all the games. But, yeah, I'm back. I had a really good, really good vacation. Had a lot of fun over the weekend. It was fun playing a lot of golf.
You look tan.
Didn't play well. The tables did not treat me very well. Fortunately, we didn't spend too much time on there. I am not a good poker player, apparently. I thought I was okay. I'm not a good poker player.
I can see it. And that's not an insult.
I don't have the... We were playing in a tournament. I had played maybe two hands in the first 30 minutes. Call and then fold. I had done nothing. I had sat there. I had said nothing. I was being quiet just in the corner of the table. I go into one hand, look, and I go, okay, ace two of clubs. All right, let's play this one. I'm playing one off the button. I get in. I make a little raise. The old guy, who obviously is one of those regulars who plays all of them, calls me. Flop comes out. King clubs, jack clubs, like six of diamonds. All right, I got a flush draw.
Yeah, flush draw.
Looking pretty good. Let's do another bet here just to see, you know, what happens. So throw out like 2,000 chips. This is a tournament, so it's not $2,000.
Oh, I was like, Jesus, man, easy.
Money bags
easy
over
big
here.
Time. Damn.
he calls, and I go, all right, well, next card turn, another club. So, okay, I make my flush. Not flush, I got the ace, I'm good. So, all right, let's just keep betting.
Yeah, keep betting.
Like 3,500 this time.
Yeah.
Guy goes, Yeah, you made your flush, didn't you? What do you got? Ace, deuce, clubs?
And Jesus, dude, you know you're dead.
He folds. I win the hand, but I'm like, it's done. I mean, I played one hand, and he knows exactly what my cards are. It's like, I do not belong at this table.
I don't understand it. And what you just said to me, essentially, I look at that man and I go, you're a wizard of some sort. You are some sort of wizard.
It's like Mike McD from Rounders just looking at, the judge just got his hearts. It's like, how do you know?
I hate people like that.
The entire time. He knew exactly what I had.
I want to play poker with dumb people that are drunk, that just are like, I'm all in. All right, great. I'll go all in too. Let's get this thing over with and get back to the bar. Well, I'm glad you had a great time. Yeah, man, it was a tough weekend. I will say this, though. So yesterday, I got a DM from our beloved Will Holder, who is a big tier one, great, great dude. And he goes, I feel so sorry for you to have to go in tomorrow and talk about this sweep. And I said, Will, we're kind of used to it at this point, okay? And I said, I will tell you this, a little inside radio. I hated that Colorado loss the other day so bad. And knowing Paulie and I had to come in and talk about blowing, you know, a huge lead in the eighth inning and getting out of Colorado with a split felt like such an L. But I said to Will, and I'll say it to our audience too, I said Friday, if they had won 9-4, Paulie and I wouldn't have had a GD thing to talk about. Not one single thing. And it happened, and I went, as much as I hate it, it's a really good look into this baseball team. And so we spent, you would have been so proud, we spent 5 minutes talking to you on the phone, and then we did 3 hours and 55 minutes of like straight baseball talk. And it was good. It was really, really good. So
I'm sorry that I wasn't there for that show. It felt like one where we could have all kind of dove into what happened to the Padres together. I was playing a late round of golf, and I looked at my phone, and they were up 8-4, yeah. 9-4. I put it away. I'm so proud of this team.
9-4 in the eighth.
They lose that one game in Colorado, but they come back to win the series. Yeah. I mean, really what we said they absolutely had to do. And I was feeling so good about the team. And I didn't check again for like 3 hours. And I looked at my phone and I go, 10-9? What the heck happened? Yeah. I was in perfect Padres fandom. I was like, this is the team. Last year, they would have lost. They would have lost the series. This is the team that bounces back. They take that series 3-4. Exactly what I'm looking for. And I have no idea exactly what happened in that game.
Terrible.
I was stunned. And obviously, is combination of the hangover and the Phillies coming to town red hot, as hot as any team. Their pitching staff is the hottest.
Dirty.
Pitching staff in baseball right now, and you ran into a bit of a buzzsaw at a really bad time to run into a buzzsaw. Now you've dug yourself into the little bit of a hole, and we remember what that feels like last year. Constantly sitting in that hole, under 500, trying to get back there, and you know, hopefully that the Padres don't spend as much time trying to dig out as they did last year.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I was thinking about driving in this morning is, holy cow, at least there's a game today. You know, as hard as it is, the series against Philly was pathetic, and we will get into that for the rest of the show. But I had promised the Tier 1s something the other day, and I wanted to see if we could do it, because nobody, I don't know that they believe that Ben is like Rain Man when it comes to golf out there. So I said to him this morning, as he was driving in, I said, hey, do you have any cards, scorecards from your rounds? He goes, yes, of course I do. I said, bring one up. And I offered him no further explanation. So he brings me a card. It is from Prim Valley.
Yep, the one right there on the state line. Good course, Lakes course.
Prim Valley
brings
it to me. I said, all right, so this is, we're going to do this live on the air, just because I want him to do it.
And is that a blank scorecard, or is that's his scorecard?
This is his, yes, it's got his numbers
and
everything.
Confirm or deny.
All right, Benny.
So yeah, I've got to not only remember what,
just everything.
You're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, everything you can remember, starting with hole one yesterday at Prim Valley.
So Scotty and I played this course when it was first opened. It had been like 30 years since we had played this course. There weren't even trees back then. Now it's big, tall pine trees. It's right there. You've probably driven past it if you've gone to Vegas on the 15 at the state line, but it was in good shape. We were happy when we pulled up and saw it. First hole is par 4, dogleg left, hit the driver, right side of the fairway, 7-iron, a little bit right, nice chip. Made the putt, good up and down, made a par on the first hole.
Check.
Second hole was a par 5 around the water. Big lake on the left. Hit a good drive into the fairway. Hit my 3 hybrid into the bunker in front of the green. I carried it past the water, but didn't get onto the green. Bunker onto the pretty good shot. Had a birdie putt, missed it. 2 putt par.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Third hole is a par 4. It goes right along the freeway. Uh-huh. Hit a really good drive past the bunker on the left. Only had a sand wedge in. Kind of sculled it to the back of the green, though. Had a, like, 40-foot par or birdie putt. Mm-hmm. Missed it. Did make the par even through 3. I'm doing pretty well.
Correct.
Fourth hole is a par 4. Drive just off the fairway, but I got onto the green and 2 putted for par there. Again, little uphill putt, par 4, 4, still even after 4.
Yep, even after 4.
Oh my God.
Fifth hole, I hit a perfect drive. It's right into the narrow gap there. You see that? It's a par 4. Yep. There's a little gap. I hit a perfect draw into the neck, and I have 70 yards into the green. Absolutely skull a sand wedge over the green onto the hill grass behind it.
Yep.
Chunk my chip. Put it onto the green, miss the putt, make a double bogey. Yep. First bad hole of the day.
Double bogey.
Then I get into my head. So the next hole is the first par 3.
Par 3.
It's a 6.
Water on
the left.
Yep.
Bunkers. I try to overhit a 7 iron. I pull it into the bunker on the left. Bunker's kind of dry. I knock that bunker shot over the green into a horrible lie. Chunk that one. Finally get it onto the green. 2 putt, triple bogey,
triple.
6.
Yeah, triple
so
bogey,
now,
6.
So now after
double,
a great
triple.
Start, I go double, triple, and 5 over through 6 holes. Ruin my great start. Come back on the 7th hole.
This is unreal.
7th hole is the longest par 4 on the front. I come back with a really good drive. Get the second shot onto the back fringe. Tough putt. Really twisty putt that's downhill. Knock it like 5 or 6 feet by, but I make the comeback for the par. 8th hole is the second par 5 on the front, I believe.
You just...
Did I switch 7 and 8?
8 is... 7's the par 5.
7 was the par 5, and 8's the par 4, so
and
I switched...
You parred it.
I parred both of them.
You did.
Parred the 9th hole, which was the par 3.
Yep.
I hit a really nice 5 iron. Almost 200 yards it was playing, and 2 putter for par. So 41 on the front.
Yeah, 41 on the front.
And then 10 is a go-for-it par 4.
Oh,
I tried to drive over the water onto the green, put it in the bunker right, but got onto the green, 2 putted for par. 11 is the only par 5 on the back.
It's unreal.
Hit a good drive, and then knock it about 60 yards short of the green. Onto the green, 2 putt for par again.
Correct.
I'm actually playing right now. Now I'm good. That's like my 5th par in a row.
Yep.
12 is a par 4, I believe.
3.
That was the par 3.
Yep.
Starting to forget.
Still very good. 12 is a par 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the one right next to 6. You
right.
go back up.
Yeah, go back up.
Back up the hill. A very long hole. I had to hit a 3 iron. Left of the green, below the green. I actually used my putter to get it up onto the green and make like a 12-footer to save par there. That was my best up and down of the day. Now I'm kind of on a roll. 13 is par 4.
Yep.
I think I get that one in the fairway or just off the edge of the fairway, but then onto the green and 2 putt for par there. 14, now I'm on a roll. 14 is a par 4, and that one is going back out away from the clubhouse.
Yep.
All right, so I actually hit a 3 wood, and I knocked it almost into the hazard on the left. There's a lake on the left.
Yep.
Had a chip kind of punch out, but then I hit a gap wedge onto the green and make the putt for par. Pretty good save there. Then the next hole coming back, I'm going for my 9th straight par in a row. Perfect drive down the middle, right onto the front of the green, have about 9 feet for birdie. Just missed that one. I'm now really on a roll. 9 straight pars at that point.
Indeed.
Then 16 goes back the other way. It's another par 4. I hit a perfect drive, a little cut from the clubhouse tee box to the right, just short on the front of the green, 2 putt for par there.
Yep.
17 is the par 3.
Correct.
And I put that one left of the green, but chip it on and make the up and down for my 11th straight par.
11 straight pars.
And then 18, tough par 4 coming in. I block my drive into the bunker right. I'm glad it stays out of the water. Have a 9 iron. Hit a perfect 9 iron about 12 feet above the hole, like from the bunker. Like my best shot of the day. 3 putt for bogey. A chance to shoot a 35 on the back.
Yep.
And I 3 putt for bogey. I shoot a 36 and finish with a 77.
That's unbelievable, dude.
The
only thing you need is switch one hole. That's it.
I transposed one hole. That's a course I hadn't played in 30 years.
You could not You've gun in my mouth. You'll never see your wife and kids again. Tell me about Encinitas Ranch, which I live right next to and have played 75,000 times. Walk me through it. Would you be like, going one, two, I know three. You lose me. I'm done. I have no idea what four looks like. Five, six, seven, eight. I know nine. I know 10. I know 11. I know 17 and I know 18. It's the middle. The meat of the sandwiches on the golf course is where I just forget.
Lose it a little bit.
Yeah, that's really good round, Benny. I wanted you to do that. I have ulterior motives as well, but I also wanted to see if you could do it, and you did it. All right, so now let's get into the business of the day. That was brilliant. brilliant. I love it.
I've been told that talking about your golf round is like talking about... no one cares.
Well, unless you do it as a bit.
No one cares.
Yeah, no, if they do if it's a bit. And yeah, it was a great bit, and you crushed that.
You're welcome.
Crushed.
I do remember my golf rounds pretty well.
I knew you could do it.
All right, we will set the menu for the show. Obviously, a lot of Padres talk about what went wrong over the weekend. A little Rain Man-ish. That's
gotta
for
watch
sure.
Wapner.
Gotta a little Rain Man for sure.
A little bit.
Sam Levitt will join us. We'll talk all about it coming up. It's Ben Woods back. It's good to be back at least on a Monday morning. All together again on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan. Be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, as I was going shot by shot through my golf round, didn't really get a chance to talk about your weekend. Congratulations to the San Diego Seals on their overtime playoff win. That sounded very dramatic.
Almost killed your boy.
Heart attack.
Almost didn't make it out.
The season's over. If you give up a goal there, the season's over.
Yeah.
You win. They advance to the NLL semifinals in another game this Friday night.
Friday, my friend, against the Albany Firewolves. And
I think you're making that up.
It sounds made up. We beat the crap out of them at their house once this season. So I couldn't believe we won. You know, it's hard to beat a team three times in a season, Panther City, and it was a duel. It was a duel. And it went all the way to overtime, and it was awful. And then next goal wins. They had a couple of chances in OT, and it is just the most nerve-wracking thing. So get your tickets at sealslax.com. Come on out. It was incredible, though. I mean, I left there, felt like I just got in a fist fight, you know, in the ring or something. It was... I was... It was terrible, but amazing.
And the Tier 1s got another win yesterday.
Yeah,
$100 donation to the Peter Seidler Legacy Fund with all the matching that goes along with it. So congratulations to both of you.
We had a great
team. Seems to be playing a little bit better last couple of games. You're rising in the standings.
We are. We are in first place now, and it was great, man. Meet so many Tier 1s on other teams, too. It's pretty funny. The guy was like, hey, man, I'm a huge, huge fan. He came and he pitched. He drilled me in the back. And then the first baseman wasn't holding me on, so I stole second. And then he tried to pick me off, threw it to third. So I'm at third. Paulie's at the dish. He throws up and into Paulie. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I go, why do you hate our show, dude?
He's like walking towards the plate. He goes, I swear to God, I'm a Tier 1.
We didn't have anything to do with anything.
I was like, is Ben out here? You want to hit Ben, too?
Where's Ben? He would have gotten dotted, too. So then Paulie drives me in with a sack fly. It was great. It was great. We had a really good team win yesterday. Ben Bruff, our pitcher, went complete game, 11 Ks, was just filthy. It was awesome, man. I had such a great day playing baseball. Like I told my wife, I feel 45 again out there playing, swiping bags and stuff. It was so much fun.
Sounds like we all had a good weekend.
We really
Unfortunately,
did,
our
man.
Baseball team did not.
I watched your recommendation, Baby Reindeer,
Baby
over the weekend.
Reindeer.
What a trip.
Baby Reindeer.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, about a man that has a stalker.
It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
The actor, he directed it. He put it all together. He wrote it. And it was his story.
It was his story. So, like, you're like, hi, this is the Ben Higgins story featuring me, Ben Higgins. They don't get, in my case, who did you say I looked like last week? The Schwab?
Howie Schwab.
They would get him to act. No, you, Ben Higgins, you wrote it, you directed it,
it
happened to you, and he acted, and it was brilliant. Brilliant miniseries on Netflix. I watched it. My wife walked in the other day. Hannah, she was watching it on her phone.
Dude,
everybody's talking about it. It's a mind blown, man. So check that out when you get a chance.
Unfortunately, our baseball team, not such a good weekend. We'll talk about it, obviously, coming up on the show today, starting with our Padres wrap-up in our next segment of yesterday's 8-6 loss to the Phillies. I don't think that anyone wants to hear about the team's fight and not going down and coming back. And it feels like they just want to see wins at this point. We've had too long between times where you actually feel confident in the San Diego Padres. And we'll talk about the pitching issues. Those seem to be the biggest issues. You can point to a lack of production in certain spots in the lineup, and obviously Xander Bogaerts has continued to struggle. Finally got bumped out of the leadoff spot in the lineup by Mike Schilt after he kind of stubbornly stuck with him for the first month of the season. And Jurickson Profar got an opportunity, did pretty well there yesterday, but it just feels to me like the biggest issue for this team so far at this point in the season has been inconsistent starting pitching.
Yep.
And that's everyone. I mean, even when Dylan Cease has been really, really good, but even he had a tough one over the weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll go through the other games as well, but Yu Darvish's injury, Joe Musgrove's struggles. It's very tough to put together the kind of winning streak that you need at some point when you're not getting the starting pitching that you expect from your top guys.
I want to talk about some platitudes today, certainly. I want to talk about some of the things that I see on social media. I can't really argue with many of them. Talking to a lot, the guys on my team are huge baseball fans, and they're all Padres fans. And we had the game on in there yesterday, and there was a couple moments of excitement when the Padres claw their way back. That's great. You didn't win the game. So I don't think we're going to give you a lot of credit for doing your job and scoring runs. But I see a lot on social media and people venting, and I am all for it. I think you vent any way you want to do it. And man, I'm getting to the point where I'm actually starting to believe some of these platitudes myself. And that's what I want to talk about today as well. You know, you watch how the Phillies do their business and you watch how the Padres do their business. They are light years away from each other. Light years. And that's disheartening. It's tough to watch. And everybody I talked to a man or woman this weekend said, that's a baseball team. That's a real, true
baseball team. I'm curious to get your opinion on what the difference is, other than just coming through in the clutch when they need to come through. Because the Phillies, every time they had an opportunity, felt like they come through. You walk a guy, next guy hits a home run.
Yeah,
they would come through when they needed to, and deliver on their opportunities. And it's something, obviously, the Padres have not really done well for at least the last, you know, season and plus.
And I think, you know, when you missed, obviously, the Schilt kind of...
I heard his whole rant.
I'm not going to call him a meltdown. It wasn't a meltdown by any stretch. I love Schilt. I think he's a good manager. But when you come out and you lose a game like that and you talk about the gamers that you have and the winners and then you go out and you lay three... You come home and lay three eggs. That's tough, man. It makes you, as a fan at least, or as an analyst or whatever, it makes you think, I mean, is it all just lip service from everybody? Like, or I wanted to see how they respond. Yeah, Schwarber responded on the third pitch of the game or whatever.
Friday night.
Yeah. So it's a bummer to see. And
I was reading Kevin Acey's daily newsletter. Padres held the lead for half an inning. Weekend. And Schilt was asked about it. We can get to that audio
later. Yes,
please.
I have not heard that yet.
He was asked about how every time the Padres scored and looked like they were going to try to mount a comeback, the very next half inning, Philly answered. Every single time.
Yeah, no doubt.
7 o'clock hour, we'll bring back Take on Woods, get some normalcy back in our schedule with me back. You'll have an opportunity last couple of days of the month to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, where I just was. Don't do this in our... It involves a local team and a brawl that spilled over into the stands at Pechanga Arena over the weekend. So we'll talk about that. More Padres-Phillies discussion. We may get into some of the playoffs at least a little bit. NBA, NHL. Draft was over the weekend. I must say, I did not watch much of the NFL draft. All I could hear about was how dumb the Falcons were for drafting Michael Penix Jr.
We had Adam Klug on, big Falcons.
Was he mad about it?
He was furious and livid and almost in tears.
I don't necessarily agree with everybody's take.
I think you probably should. It's a bad move, I think.
I know everyone says that.
Yeah, I think it's a bad move.
I kind of took a similar position on Friday. I just said, look, the don't do this here was giving Kirk Cousins $100 million.
Okay, right. And like, but I'm a solution-based person. Once that happens and it's done, then instead of saying, we just gave this guy $100 million, let's get him a wide receiver. Let's get him a tight end. Let's get him an offensive lineman. Let's get him a defensive lineman. They go, let's get him a backup quarterback.
Of course, they have other areas that they needed to fill before backup quarterback for the next 3 years.
Right.
But I guess my point is, if you always make the right decisions, clearly, then you know you've got Cousins, you're good. Pick someone else. It's not like the Falcons make a ton of right decisions. And I will say this. The only good teams in the NFL are the ones that have a quarterback. And if you have two good options as opposed to just one, there actually might be something to that.
Like, yeah, maybe.
You know, if Kirk Cousins doesn't work out, gets hurt at some point, and you have nothing behind it, well, then you're toast. You're done. And now the Falcons at least have a second option that might be good. And I can almost see the logic there, but I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time on the NFL draft this morning. In-season Sammy, Sam Levitt, felt bad for him. Had to do all those post-game shows over the weekend.
Yeah.
That was rough from the loft. He will join us at 8:35. Ryan will report in our 9 o'clock hour.
He did miss one. He took I believe it was Friday night off for his girlfriend's birthday, which was smart. And Scraby had to go in and wear it that night. So yeah, Scraby and then Sammy's doing the Lord's work this weekend.
And then we got another series. Starts tonight. Padres don't know rest for the weary.
No.
Jump right back in with the
good.
Cincinnati Reds.
That's good. That's a good thing.
If they win, it'll be great if they can bounce back tonight. So we'll talk about tonight's game as well. But that's what's on the menu. We will get started with our Padres wrap-up. Talk about yesterday's 8-6 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. When we come back with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. But one thing we know for certain, Padres are not putting their best foot forward in front of their home fans this season. Woods, what's their home record? You just had that for me a little bit ago. Usually teams play better in their home stadium, their home ballpark.
They are. Sorry, I had an issue here. Technical meltdown.
That's all right.
Okay. Got it fixed. Padres at home. I had it. I don't have it. I know they are 1-9 at night in home games.
6-11 is the overall record at home, but 1-9
at night.
Home, your primetime games in front of your fans.
All like tons and tons and tons of fans.
Most of the time they've gone, you know, had a long day at work, looking forward to the game that night.
It was me Friday. I had such a gnarly day Friday, and all I wanted to do was take my little boys to such a great time until the game started. And once the game started, it was very clear this was not going to be our night. And we left and listened to the game and then watched the end of the game at home and just putrid. We'll get into Friday night's game later. Yesterday's game, at least for, I guess, entertainment purposes, which this is what this should be. This should not be life or death, but it is, and I totally get that. Entertainment purposes, yesterday was the best game that they played all series. How did that work out? Still ended up with an L.
Well, we'll go through the highlights with our Padres wrap-up, discuss the series finale against the Phillies right after it. Check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Here's the pitch from King, and that's hit in the air out to right center field. Long run, Fernando back and over. He will watch it go just over that next entire purple sign in right center field. Ball carried more than it looked like it would. And Stott with his first hit of the series, his second home run of the season, and a 2-0 Philly lead here in the second. 2-1 pitch. Tatis sends it in the air to deep left center field. Rojas going back into the gap. He's looking up. It'll hit off against the wall. Profar rounding third, being waved. There will not be a relay to the plate. An RBI double for Fernando. And the Padres on the board here in the third. It's 2-1. First pitch swinging. Jake Cronenworth, a no-doubter to right field. And the Padres, just like that, take the lead. Two-run home run, and it's 3-2. Here's the pitch. And that is skied to right field. Fernando going back. He is on the warning track. At the wall, looking up, gonna go. Second two-run homer of the day for Bryson Stott. And this thing seesaws back the other direction. Phillies back in front, it's 4-3. Big lead at first for Bohm, not running. Realmuto swings, sends one in the air to very deep left field. Just took out some frustration there. That's gonna find the second deck above the line score in left. A two-run homer for Realmuto, his fifth of the year. And the Phillies now lead it 6-3. The pitch. Swung on, lined into left field. Profar coming in, has to play it on a hop. They're going to wave Schwarber home. Here's the relay. It's cut off. Throw to second is in time. The run scores. But Harper thrown out at second base by Manny on the relay. Nice heads-up play by Machado. And Schwarber able to rumble around and score before the third out was made. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Camposano swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Marsh is back at the wall, looking up, going to go! Three-run pinch-hit homer, Luis Camposano. And we got ourselves a one-run game here in the seventh inning. Here's the pitch. And he steps into it, hits it in the air to deep right center. Long run, Merrill on the move. Not going to get there. One hops over the wall for a rule book double. And now that stolen base, absolutely huge. 8-6 Philadelphia. Ball hit in the air off the end of the bat into shallow right field. Fernando charging in towards the line on the run. Going to drop down. And a base hit. Turner speeding into second to throw the tag, and he's out. Oh, boy. Speedy runner, better arm, and one away in the top of the ninth inning as we hang a star for Fernando Tatis Jr. Pitch is lined to right field. Castellanos coming in towards the line. He gets there, kind of staggered at the last moment, but he makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Phillies come to town, and they sweep this three-game series. They hold on this afternoon by a final of 8-6.
I mean, stuff was good. Velocity was good today. Ball was coming out good. The change up, throwing it to righties. So had all the pitches working. The walks hurt him before the damage, to Castellanos a couple times. And, we got a couple guys are there really swinging the bat well. We didn't make them uncomfortable enough.
You can't walk Nick Castellanos three times. If you walk Nick Castellanos three times, I don't know what to tell you. That's a recipe for disaster. That's the first ingredient to your delicious disaster stew that you're making. What do I have in the cabinet? Do I have walk Nick Castellanos three times? I do. Ben, the guy will swing at anything.
Yeah.
Literally anything.
And I was listening to the game as I was driving back yesterday. The first walk was, I think it was 9 pitches. I mean, he fouled off a bunch of ones. And eventually, you give the batter some credit. You You foul off enough. A pitcher is going to, you know, you're trying to hit the corners. You miss a corner. You walk a guy. It does happen. To walk him multiple times, it's not like Michael King had big-time control problems. He didn't walk anybody else in the entire game other than Nick Castellanos. And what was weird about yesterday is clearly the Phillies, they have one of the best records in all of baseball at 19-10. They have some of the most dangerous players, undoubtedly, in all of baseball, in guys like Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber in the heart of their lineup.
Bryson Stott
is not one of them, though. Bryson Stott is one of those guys that you feel, hopefully, like, okay, this is the softer part of their lineup where we can get through without damage. If you let Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh beat you, you have no hope against the Phillies.
No hope. Zero.
You have no hope. And the Padres actually contained the big guys yesterday. That's, to me, what was the most frustrating part about.
Did they, though? Did they really? I mean, if you're only going to give them credit for one big guy, if Bryce Harper, I think you might be missing the plot. JT Realmuto is really good, too.
Trey Turner and Bryce Harper went 1-for-9 with a single.
Yeah, but Schwarber, Realmuto,
Bohm is one of the hottest players in baseball now, and he continues to get his.
He's the best hitter on their team
right now. He's been doing it to everybody, not just the Padres. But to me, when you let Stott beat you.
Stott going out there and knocking in four runs and you know, two bombs or whatever. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's your eight-hole hitter. Can't happen. Castellanos getting on base three times. Should not happen.
King had struck out Realmuto a couple of times in his first couple of bats, made him look bad, and then he comes back with a two-run home run.
Well, and then conversely, you know, on the other side of the field on Sunday's game, Tatis 1-for-4, Machado 1-for-4.
Tatis hit the snot out of the ball.
Bogarts 1-for-4, 3-for-12 with 1K, 1 RBI. It's a, you know, look, we said early in the season, for this team to go anywhere or do anything, I'm so tired of seeing people getting mad at Kyle Higashioka and people getting mad at you know, Jurickson Profar and really anybody beyond those three. You know, you're talking a collective, what are we talking salary-wise collective between those three guys that I just mentioned?
$4 million?
No, the other ones, the big ones.
The big ones.
$90 million-ish.
Right. So I'm not going to get my I'm not going to get super heated at the Kyle Higashiokas of the world. Hell, even the Ha-Sung Kims of the world. Certainly not the Jackson Merrills of the world. Jackson took an offer yesterday. Those aren't the guys that I need to lead this team. I need the guys that are at the top, Manny, Xander, and Fernando, to do what they're capable of doing. And that is to hit good pitching. That you don't get a $30 million contract by just beating up on scrubs your entire career, right? Like, we're not going to give somebody that much money. If you only hit the 4 and 5 starters well, and you just tear them up, but when ones and twos and threes come in, you roll over. And you face three of their best. Well, Taiwan Walker's not one of their best, but you face two of their three really good pitchers and a couple of the best pitchers in the league. You did nothing. You did nothing against those guys. So, yeah, man. Yesterday, for entertainment purposes, was the best game of the series. It still came away with an L. And I don't even want to say, like, oh, but they fought back. It was cool to see them score some runs late. But ultimately, you know, Profar leads off with the double. Here comes Toddy. Here comes Crony.
That's the to me, that was the most disappointing moment of the series.
Which confirms a little bit about momentum.
Campy hits
in-game momentum.
The three-run homer. You're down one. They bring in a new pitcher. Immediately, you've got the double. You got the tying run at second base with one out and your best hitters coming up. And I know they're not always going to come through, but Tatis had been raking the ball. He's 1-for-3, but he hit each ball in his first three at-bats over 100 miles an hour. And he couldn't come through. Jake couldn't come through. And it's the exact opposite of the Phillies. And Mike Schilt talked about it after the game, and I think Paulie's got the sound. When the Padres did strike with three in the bottom of the third, quickly on the double by Tatis and then the first pitch home run by Jake, Right away, the Phillies struck back in the top of the fourth. When the Padres got their three to pull within one in the bottom of the seventh, the Phillies clawed one across to make it a two-run game. That's a big run right there.
Huge, man.
Even at seven to six, you're feeling like, all right, the Padres are setting themselves up for maybe a walk-off win here. Once the Phillies get that one back and it's 8-6, that's a different sort of comeback. You know, now you need a big rally. You need two guys on to get a walk-off home run possibility. A one-run game and a two-run game are very different. Here's Mike Schilt after the game talking about how the Phillies responded every time to the Padres, seemingly all series long.
Yeah, it's something that we clearly need to be much better at. And today was an example of it, but it's taken place too much where we score and don't go back out and get a shutdown inning. And it's not for lack of effort, but it is for lack of execution. I mean, we had one half inning lead the whole series. And so you just, the whole time, it felt like, boom, we'd score, and then boom, they'd come right back, or they'd get the lead, and, you know, just not a recipe for how to win baseball games. So we've got to be better at it, clearly. Like I said, it just seems like we'd score, and immediately the first guy's on. And again, it's not any lack of effort, but lack of execution. So it will improve. It will improve, and it needs to improve.
I, you know, the long ball has haunted this team so far, and especially Michael King, who yesterday took the Major League Baseball lead in home runs allowed with 10, surpassing Joe Musgrove, who had 9. So that's not a good recipe for those guys that are going to be, you know, a day apart in the order.
I was told the ball doesn't fly out of Petco Park.
Yeah, Paulie, I've heard that. But I've heard that many, many times since living here for these 14 years that, hey, it's April. We're not going to get anything out of here. Other teams have zero problems. And I, again, Kyle Schwarber gets one. Kyle Schwarber could hit one out of the Polo Grounds with the old balls. He's one of the strongest men in baseball. He gets me. I'm like, all right, he got me. Bryce Harper gets one. I'm like, all right, he gets me. JT gets one. I'm like, all right, he got me. Bryson Stott yakking 2 out yesterday? Come on. Come on, man. So, yeah, I think all in all, pretty tough weekend to stomach if you're a Padres fan. And, you know, some of the things I saw yesterday is it doesn't look like they care. You know, and you see that, you hear that a lot when things happen, when you go in a four-game skid now. You know, the body language experts come out, and I can't really disagree with any of it. If you can't find a way to win one game at home against Taiwan Walker, yeah, I got to look at you, and I look at your record, 1-9 at night. I look at your record at home, and I go, do you guys care at all that San Diegans are spending? By the way, I got tickets from work here, so that was on the house. But I paid for parking. I paid a buttload for food. Do you care that San Diegans are coming out and, you know, laying down hundreds?
So you
and
disagree
hundreds.
When Mike Schilt says it's not a lack of effort. You feel like they're just not trying? I don't know.
What I see is a lot of give up in at the plate. I see a lot of hacking at rolling over first pitches, things like that. Now, again, when you get an opportunity to face a Nola or a Ranger Suarez, those guys are going to be around the plate. I'm fine going up there and hunting to try to do damage on something. But, man, just the quick outs, the 7-pitch innings, the 10-pitch innings, after our pitcher just labored through a 30-pitch inning, it's things like that where I don't think they don't care. I know they put in work. I'm not dumb.
They did get 6 eventually, 8 hits, 6 runs
right
off of Taiwan Walker.
Right.
To me, it's, again, as I said earlier, it's the pitching. It's the pitching. The offense has been consistently better and deeper than last season. They need Xander to be better, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Manny's got to be better as well. But they've gotten much better production throughout the order than they got last year. They way more from, you know, Jackson Merrill has been huge. Camposano has still hitting, you know, 290, had the huge home run, pinch hit yesterday. Eggy's done a really nice job, you know, in his limited role with pinch hitting and spot starts against lefties at third base.
Yeah, none of those guys are a problem. Even Tyler Wade has had some big ass knocks. Tyler Made makes.
Jerkson's had an unbelievable start to the year.
Unbelievable year on a million dollar salary.
And I think Tatis has gotten a little bit unlucky because he's hit the ball hard and probably should be better than he is. Manny and Xander off to slower starts. Obviously, Manny's been dealing with. But one thing we know for certain, Padres are not putting their best foot forward in front of their home fans this season. Woods, what's their home record? You just had that for me a little bit ago. Usually teams play better in their home stadium, their home ballpark.
They are. Sorry, I had an issue here. Technical meltdown.
That's all right.
Okay. Got it fixed. Padres at home. I had it. I don't have it. I know they are 1-9 at night in home games. And
6-11 is the overall record at home, but 1-9 at night. Home, your primetime games in front of your fans.
All like tons and tons and tons of fans.
Most of the time they've gone, you know, had a long day at work, looking forward to the game that night.
It was Friday. I had such a gnarly day Friday, and all I wanted to do was take my little boys to such a great time until the game started. And once the game started, it was very clear this was not going to be our night. And we left and listened to the game and then watched the end of the game at home and just putrid. We'll get into Friday night's game later. Yesterday's game, at least for, I guess, entertainment purposes, which this is what this should be. This should not be life or death, but it is, and I totally get that. Entertainment purposes, yesterday was the best game that they played all series. How did that work out? Still ended up with an L.
Well, we'll go through the highlights with our Padres wrap-up, discuss the series finale against the Phillies right after it. Check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Here's the pitch from King, and that's hit in the air out to right center field. Long run, Fernando back and over. He will watch it go. Just over that next entire purple sign in right center field. Ball carried more than it looked like it would. And Stott with his first hit of the series, his second home run of the season, and a 2-0 Philly lead here in the second. 2-1 pitch. Tatis sends it in the air to deep left center field. Rojas going back into the gap. He's looking up. It'll hit off against the wall. Profar rounding third, being waved. There will not be a relay to the plate. An RBI double for Fernando, and the Padres on the board here in the third. It's 2-1. First pitch swinging, Jake Cronenworth, a no-doubter to right field. And the Padres, just like that, take the lead. Two-run home run, and it's 3-2. Here's the pitch, and that is skied to right field. Fernando going back. He is on the warning track, at the wall, looking up, going to go. Second two-run homer of the day for Bryson Stott. And this thing seesaws back the other direction. Phillies back in front. It's 4-3. Big lead at first for Bohm, not running. Realmuto swings, sends one in the air to very deep left field. Just took out some frustration there. That's going to find the second deck above the line score in left. A two-run homer for Realmuto, his fifth of the year. And the Phillies now lead it 6-3. The pitch. Swung on line into left field. Profar coming in, has to play it on a hop. They're going to wave Schwarber home. Here's the relay. It's cut off. Throw to second is in time. The run scores. But Harper thrown out at second base by Manny on the relay. Nice heads-up play by Machado. And Schwarber able to rumble around and score before the third out was made. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Camposano swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Marsh is back at the wall, looking up, going to go! Three-run pinch-hit homer, Luis Camposano. And we got ourselves a one-run game here in the seventh inning. Here's the pitch. And he steps into it, hits it in the air to deep right center. Long run, Merrill on the move. Not going to get there. One hops over the wall for a rule book double. And now that stolen base, absolutely huge. 8-6 Philadelphia. Ball hit in the air off the end of the bat into shallow right field. Fernando charging in towards the line on the run. Going to drop down. And a base hit. Turner speeding into second to throw the tag, and he's out. Oh, boy. Speedy runner, better arm, and one away in the top of the ninth inning as we hang a star for Fernando Tatis Jr. Pitch is lined to right field. Castellanos coming in towards the line. He gets there, kind of staggered at the last moment, but he makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Phillies come to town, and they sweep this three-game series. They hold on this afternoon by a final of 8-6.
I mean, stuff was good. Velocity was good today. Ball was coming out good. The change up, throwing it to righties. So had all the pitches working. You know, the walks hurt him before the damage, you know, to Castellanos a couple times. And, you know, we got a couple guys are there really swinging the bat well. We didn't make them uncomfortable enough.
You can't walk Nick Castellanos three times. If you walk Nick Castellanos three times, I don't know what to tell you. That's a recipe for disaster. That's the first ingredient to your delicious disaster stew that you're making. What do I have in the cabinet? Do I have walk Nick Castellanos three times? I do. Ben, the guy will swing at anything.
Yeah.
Literally anything.
And I was listening to the game as I was driving back yesterday. The first walk was, I think it was nine pitches. I mean, he fouled off a bunch of ones. And eventually, you give the batter some credit. You foul off enough. A pitcher is going to, you're trying to hit the corners. You miss a corner. You walk a guy. It does happen. To walk him multiple times, it's not like Michael King had big-time control problems. He didn't walk anybody else in the entire game other than Nick Castellanos. And what was weird about yesterday is clearly the Phillies, they have one of the best records in all of baseball at 19-10. They have some of the most dangerous players, undoubtedly, in all of baseball, in guys like Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber in the heart of their lineup.
Bryson Stott
is not one of them, though. Bryson Stott is one of those guys that you feel, hopefully, this is the softer part of their lineup where we can get through without damage. If you let Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh beat you, you have no hope against the Phillies.
No hope. Zero.
You have no hope. And the Padres actually contained the big guys yesterday. That's, to me, what was the most frustrating part about.
Did they, though? Did they really? I mean, if you're only going to give them credit for one big guy, if Bryce Harper, I think you might be missing the plot. JT Realmuto is really good, too.
Trey Turner and Bryce Harper went 1-for-9 with a single.
Yeah, but Schwarber, Realmuto,
Bohm is one of the hottest players in baseball now, and he continues to get his.
He's the best hitter on their team
right now.
He's
been doing it to everybody, not just the Padres, but to me, when you let Stott beat you.
Stott going out there and knocking in four runs and two bombs or whatever. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's your eight-hole hitter. Can't happen. Castellanos getting on base three times. Should not happen.
King had struck out Realmuto a couple of times in his first couple of bats, made him look bad, and then he comes back with a two-run home run.
Well, and then conversely, on the other side of the field on Sunday's game, Tatis 1-for-4, Machado 1-for-4.
Tatis hit the snot out of the ball.
Bogarts 1-for-4, 3-for-12 with 1K, 1 RBI. It's look, we said early in the season, for this team to go anywhere or do anything, I'm so tired of seeing people getting mad at Kyle Higashioka and people getting mad at Jurickson Profar and really anybody beyond those three. You're talking a collective. What are we talking salary-wise collective between those three guys that I just mentioned?
$4 million?
No, the other ones, the big ones.
The big ones.
$90 million-ish.
Right. So I'm not going to get my I'm not going to get super heated at the Kyle Higashiokas of the world. Hell, even the Ha-Sung Kims of the world. Certainly not the Jackson Merrills of the world. Jackson took an offer yesterday. Those aren't the guys that I need to lead this team. I need the guys that are at the top, Manny, Xander, and Fernando, to do what they're capable of doing. And that is to hit good pitching. That you don't get a $30 million contract by just beating up on scrubs your entire career, right? Like, we're not going to give somebody that much money. If you only hit the 4 and 5 starters well, and you just tear them up, but when ones and twos and threes come in, you roll over. And you face three of their best. Well, Taiwan Walker's not one of their best. But you face two of their three really good pitchers and a couple of the best pitchers in the league. You did nothing. You did nothing against those guys. So, yeah, man. Yesterday, for entertainment purposes, was the best game of the series. It still came away with an L. And I don't even want to say, but they fought back. It was cool to see them score some runs late. But ultimately, Profar leads off with the double. Here comes Toddy. Here comes Crony.
That's the inning over. To me, that was the most disappointing moment of the series.
Which confirms a little bit about momentum.
Campy hits
in-game momentum.
The three-run homer. You're down one. They bring in a new pitcher. Immediately, you've got the double. You got the tying run at second base with one out and your best hitters coming up. And I know they're not always going to come through, but Tatis had been raking the ball. He's 1-for-3, but he hit each ball in his first three at-bats over 100 miles an hour. And he couldn't come through. Jake couldn't come through. And it's the exact opposite of the Phillies. And Mike Schilt talked about it after the game, and I think Paulie's got the sound. When the Padres did strike with three in the bottom of the third, quickly on the double by Tatis and then the first pitch home run by Jake, Right away, the Phillies struck back in the top of the fourth. When the Padres got their three to pull within one in the bottom of the seventh, the Phillies clawed one across to make it a two-run game. That's a big run right there.
Huge, man.
Even at seven to six, you're feeling like, all right, the Padres are setting themselves up for maybe a walk-off win here. Once the Phillies get that one back and it's 8-6, that's a different sort of comeback. You know, now you need a big rally. You need two guys on to get a walk-off home run possibility. A one-run game and a two-run game are very different. Here's Mike Schilt after the game talking about how the Phillies responded every time to the Padres, seemingly all series long.
Yeah, it's something that we clearly need to be much better at. And today was an example of it, but it's taken place too much where we score and don't go back out and get a shutdown inning. And it's not for lack of effort, but it is for lack of execution. I mean, we had one half inning lead the whole series, and so you just, the whole time it felt like boom, we'd score and then boom, they'd come right back, or they'd get the lead, and you know, just not recipe for how to win baseball games. So we've got to be better at it. Clearly, like I said, it just seems like we'd score and immediately the first guy's on. And again, it's not any lack of effort, but lack of execution. So it will improve. It will improve, and it needs to improve.
The long ball has haunted this team so far, and especially Michael King, who yesterday took the Major League Baseball lead in home runs allowed with 10, surpassing Joe Musgrove, who had 9. So that's not a good recipe for those guys that are going to be, you know, a day apart in the order.
I was told the ball doesn't fly out of Petco Park.
Yeah, well, I've heard that many, many times since living here for these 14 years that, hey, it's April. We're not going to get anything out of here. Other teams have zero problems. And Kyle Schwarber gets one. Kyle Schwarber could hit one out of the Polo Grounds with the old balls. He's one of the strongest men in baseball. He gets me, I'm like, all right, he got me. Bryce Harper gets one, I'm like, all right, he gets me. JT gets one, I'm like, all right, he got me. Bryson Stott yakking two out yesterday? Come on. Come on, man. So, yeah, I think all in all, pretty tough weekend to stomach if you're a Padres fan. And, you know, some of the things I saw yesterday is it doesn't look like they care, you know. And you see that, you hear that a lot when things happen, when you go in a four-game skid now. You know, the body language experts come out, and I can't really disagree with any of it. If you can't find a way to win one game at home against Taiwan Walker, I got to look at you, and I look at your record, 1-9 at night. I look at your record at home, and I go, do you guys care at all that San Diegans are spending? By the way, I got tickets from work here, so that was on the house. But I paid for parking. I paid a buttload for food. Do you care that San Diegans are coming out and, you know, laying down hundreds?
So you
and
disagree
hundreds
when Mike Schilt says it's not a lack of effort. You feel like they're just not trying? I don't know.
What I see is a lot of give up in at the plate. I see a lot of hacking at rolling over first pitches, things like that. Now, again, when you get an opportunity to face a Nola or a Ranger Suarez, those guys are going to be around the plate. I'm fine going up there and hunting to try to do damage on something. But, man, just the quick outs, the 7-pitch innings, the 10-pitch innings, after our pitcher just labored through a 30-pitch inning, it's things like that where I don't think they don't care. I know they put in work. I'm not dumb.
They did get six eventually, 8 hits, 6 runs
right
off of Taiwan Walker.
Right.
To me, it's, again, as I said earlier, it's the pitching. It's the pitching. The offense has been consistently better and deeper than last season. They need Xander to be better, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Manny's got to be better as well. But they've gotten much better production throughout the order than they got last year. Way more from, Jackson Merrill has been huge. Camposano has still hitting, you know, 290, had the huge home run, pinch hit yesterday. Eggy's done a really nice job, you know, in his limited role with pinch hitting and spot starts against lefties at third base.
Yeah, none of those guys are a problem. Even Tyler Wade has had some big-ass knocks. Tyler Made makes...
Jerkson's had an unbelievable start to the year.
Unbelievable year on a million-dollar salary.
And I think Tatis has gotten a little bit unlucky because he's hit the ball hard and probably should be better than he is. Manny and Xander off to slower starts. Obviously, Manny's been dealing with getting, you know, healthy again and paternity leave. So I really think the offense is all right. If you had the pitching from last year that you were getting and the offense from this year, you'd have a really good team. Unfortunately, the offense has perked up a little bit and the pitching has gone into the tank. And the days when you do get starting pitching seem to be the days when the bullpen then has their let-ups and mistakes.
We had one good turn through the rotation.
Yep.
One really very good turn. Solid turn. And then it really gave everybody a nice, you know, good feeling about a bright spot, you know, potential bright spot for this team. And now, you know, this is why it's always hard for me to rip a skipper for his bullpen moves, because you've had starters going 2 2/3, 3. You know what I mean? Like, it really wrecks your bullpen when your starter can't get any length at all. And traditionally, we talked about on the roundtable too, Schilt has kind of let those guys that gave up those early runs try to figure it out and at least eat some innings. Now you're even seeing that go away. Long relief from Adrian Morejon. Long relief from Estrada, who's up. It's a tough watch right now. Starting pitching's got to step up, especially at home.
I think that's my biggest point. And if the Padres don't get better starting pitching, it could end up being a long season. We'll continue this discussion, play a little take on Woods. Hour number two of Ben and Woods coming up next year on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.